40 years ago, on April 25th, 1967, Colorado brought forth to this nation a new law dedicated to the proposition that all men are no longer created equal. Now we are engaged in a great cultural war, testing whether this nation, which routinely destroys the lives of innocent pre-born babies, can long endure. On April 25th, please join Colorado Right to Life to commemorate the millions of lives killed by abortion, because our state passed the first law in America allowing children to be killed for the crimes of their fathers. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address about our God-given rights and why they are far superior to any law written by man. Join us at 1:30 at the state capitol on April 25th to prayerfully put an end to the bloodshed. Stand with Dr. Keyes and Colorado Right to Life as we work to reestablish legal protection for all human life, from fertilization through natural death. For more information, call Colorado Right to Life at 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Another tragedy, a shooting, this time on a university campus in Virginia. 32 people have been killed. Of course, it's possible that others may die from their injuries, but 32 people have been killed in the shooting rampage at Virginia Tech University in Blacksburg, that's in Western Virginia. And one of the dead apparently is the gunman. And so, of course, we will learn more about him in the coming days. But the tragedy, the lesson, if there's a lesson from Columbine, it's that the local government, the school district, the sheriff's department, the courts, even the federal courts, didn't have much of a desire to get the information out publicly as to what was known about the threats and the gunmen prior to Columbine. And so, as with many of these shootings, they say only if they could have seen the warning signs, but there are warning signs all over so often. So this is yet another tragedy, and this is of extraordinary, epic proportion. 32 people shot to death. That would make it not only the most horrendous school shooting, but the most horrendous shooting, mass murder shooting of any kind in modern American history. So a great, great tragedy. In fact, what we will do in a moment is we will play a clip from CBS News from back in October of 2006, when Katie Couric had invited Brian Rohrbaugh to appear after the Amish school shootings and to basically take their free speech segment and explain his perspective on why we have these kinds of shootings in America. And boy, was that powerful. In fact, I think it was the most powerful 90 seconds ever in the history of the pro-life movement on getting the word out to the public as to what's really going on in our country. We got an email from a woman in Massachusetts saying, "Bob, will you talk about this today, this shooting? How can people be shocked? They teach kids from kindergarten on that they evolved from animals, and then they are shocked when people act like animals? What's up? It totally infuriates me." And I agree with this woman. She's exactly right. It is infuriating when you teach people that there's no such thing as truth, there's no such thing as absolute right and absolute wrong. You decide for yourself what's right or wrong, that there's no creator God, that we are animals. Yeah, that's what happens. People act like animals, and we should not be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. So let's now listen to this free speech segment from CBS News back in October.
Brian Rohrbaugh lost his son Dan in the Columbine Massacre, and we asked him to share his thoughts.
I'm saddened and shaken by the shooting at an Amish school today and last week's school murders. When my son Dan was murdered on the sidewalk at Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999, I hoped that would be the last school shooting. Since that day, I tried to answer the question, why did this happen? This country is in a moral freefall. For over two generations, a public school system is taught in a moral vacuum, expelling God from the school and from the government, replacing him with evolution, where the strong kill the weak without moral consequences. And life has no inherent value. We teach there are no absolutes, no right or wrong. And I assure you, the murder of innocent children is always wrong, including by abortion. Abortion has diminished the value of children. Suicide has become an acceptable action and has further emboldened these criminals. And we are seeing an epidemic increase in murder-suicide attacks on our children. Sadly, our schools are not safe. In fact, we now witness that within our schools, our children have become a target of terrorists from within the United States.
That is extraordinarily powerful. It's powerful, it's insightful, it's right on. Our country is in a moral free fall. Our schools teach in a moral vacuum. They've expelled God from the school. Our legal system is godless. Our medical system will discriminate against a nurse or a doctor who is against the killing of the innocent. And we are surprised when people act like animals. Why would we be surprised? Okay, so we are going to take some calls. We've got a number of people who want to get into the show on different topics, but let's start right now in Franktown, Colorado. Al, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
All right, thank you, Bob.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I called the other day and had a question for you, and with what happened today, I suppose it's even more important to know.
All right.
My question is quite simple. Is it biblical to be an activist in our society, whether it be in your right to life movement that you speak of all the time,
right,
or political? I'm more interested in the political answer for now, but...
All right. Is it biblical to be an activist? An activist is someone who tries to affect their culture, their government, and what's acceptable in society, and to correct wrongs. Now, an activist might have his whole worldview upside down. A lot of people see what is evil and they call it good, and what is good they call evil. So those people should not be activists. First, they should let God act on their own hearts and humble themselves before him, study his word, the Bible, and repent and learn right from wrong and trust in Jesus Christ. But for those who have a relationship with God, and they honor God, and they want to tell others about him, then of course, if you look at the Old Testament or the New, you find that the prophets and the apostles, they would do, for example, street evangelism. They'd go out on the streets, and they'd meet people where they are at, and they would speak against immorality. They'd speak against doing wrong to widows and orphans. They would speak against stealing. They would speak against sexual immorality, against the murder of the innocent. And even with John the Baptist, if you recall, John the Baptist went after Herod. And John the Baptist was arrested by Herod, and he was eventually martyred. He was beheaded. The Apostle Paul did what he could to speak to kings and governors.
Okay, but these people... spoke to the leaders, and they're speaking on a moral basis, and I can appreciate that. But I guess the confusion I've got comes into play when I read parts of the Bible that tells me that God puts leaders in place, and he puts countries where he wants them to do what his will is.
Okay.
So if that's the case, if we... Once again, I'll step back to the political aspect of
it. Yes.
I guess I wonder, am I fighting against God by trying to you know, if I were to become an activist.
Well, Al, if the theology that you expressed, if it were accurate and you were an activist opposing the governing officials, well, then God would be fighting against himself, because he would have been decreeing you to fight against the presidents and the government that he put in office. Some people have been tricked into thinking that God has decreed everything, and that the war between good and evil has been completely orchestrated by God, so that he's on both sides of the war of between good and evil. And if a child is kidnapped and molested and murdered, God has decreed that for some great purpose. And in fact, the opposite is true. God is free and able to do things that affect the future, and he made us in his image and likeness, and he made us with a will. He has a will, and he gave us a will. He gave angelic creatures a will, and those angels that fell, demons have wills also. And so when evil things happen, it's not God doing the evil things. It's people who are in rebellion against God. And so, yes, there are passages in Scripture where God interacts, God intervenes, but it is a mistake to think that when filthy, perverse things happen, that God is doing those things. God did not set Bill Clinton in the Oval Office to engage in sexual perversion and immorality for the whole world to talk about it. John the Baptist opposed King Herod's adultery and incest. And that adultery and incest was not God's will, and it was not God's decree, and God was not fighting both sides against each other.
Okay, that part does make sense to me. That's fine.
Al, one other thing. The Bible says that when the wicked govern, the people groan. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. And so if you had a plumber at your house, hopefully you would want the plumber to know the Lord and to do what's right. And for some reason, many Christians have twisted their theology to where if someone is a mayor or a judge or a president, then we don't care about their soul. And we don't care about them honoring God and doing right, because we shouldn't be activists. See, that's a perversion of theology, where people get so philosophical, they lose sight of the spiritual battle that we're in.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that answer, and I do think I understand how you're putting it. I read your book, The Plot, once about a year ago, and probably better refresh my memory on it.
Well, and you know, we have other materials. For example, we have a seminar on a CD on predestination and free will, and that goes through many of these issues. In fact, it's about 5 hours long, and we also have a debate on a similar topic, on whether the future is settled or opened. And that's a written debate, a couple hundred pages long. And so we go through these issues and show that because many theologians are philosophy driven, they've taken verses in the Bible out of context, and they've led millions of Christians to believe that when filthy and perverse things happen, that God has decreed those things. So God established the authority structure of kings and fathers, families. God has set all that up, but that doesn't mean that God has decided which man will marry which woman and what kids they will have. So God has established the authority structure of a family, and then we use the will that God has given us, and we go about our lives. So it would be a mistake to say, oh, look, God has decided what a family is, so therefore God put me in this miserable marriage. That's a non sequitur. But thank you, Al, for calling.
Can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
I've heard you say in the past on your show where you have to put your own house in order first.
Yes.
Before you go out further. Where would I find that kind of teaching in the Bible?
Where would you find that in the Bible? Let's see. Paul,
I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find anything specifically.
All right.
Worded that way.
Two things from Paul. One, he speaks about the qualifications of ministers, elders and deacons. And he says that if they're, for example, violent or greedy or sexually immoral, they should step down or they're not qualified because they have to be able to have their own house in order. That's in Timothy and Titus. And also Paul says about judging generally that judgment begins in the house of God. So we are more responsible to judge others who are in the body first and then those who are out of the body.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
God bless you, Al. Appreciate
that.
God
bless you too. Thank you.
Our phone number, 1-800-8-N-YART. Let's go right to Chicago. Tim, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Hey, just real quick, one comment on a personal note. I just watched your DVD, Focus on the Strategy, and it just blew me away. I mean, it's just
wow,
just unbelievable. And I personally believe that anybody who sees it, any Christian leader who sees that is now held guiltless before God and the decisions that they make with their ministries.
Wow.
That's how powerful I think that strategy is.
And Tim, you know, we're doing the sequel to that at the Capitol in Colorado. On April 25th, Colorado Right to Life has an event, 40 Years in the Wilderness, on the 40th anniversary of the first pro-abortion law in America. And Alan Keyes will be there, Judy Brown, Flip Benham, Brian Rohrbaugh, and I'll be presenting this at the Capitol. It's going to be rather extraordinary. And the sequel, Tim, is every bit as powerful as the first, Focus on the Strategy.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And I just want to run these three stories by you real quick, and I'll hang up and let you comment on them. First of all, my wife and I watch a television show. It's pretty popular. It's called House. It's a medical show.
Okay.
And they literally, last week, I think it was on Thursday night, they recreated the famous baby photo of the tiny baby reaching out from the mother's womb during surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Grabbing the doctor's finger. And there was not even the slightest pro-choice slant to it. In fact, the mother in the story refused to kill her baby. She they told her that she should, and she said no.
Wow. Then, so this was a House, which is that a cable show or a broadcast?
It's on ABC.
Network show. And this is the photo that Matt Drudge made especially famous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He showed it on Fox News. He had a TV show on Fox News on the weekend, and then he was his show ended that very week for some reason. But anyway, this is an extraordinary example of here's the baby in the womb being operated on, and the baby reaches his hand up out of the womb from the incision that was made by the surgeon and grabs.
It was so well done. It was unbelievable.
Grabs onto the doctor's hand. And here you have Planned Parenthood and Hillary Clinton telling people that the baby, it could be killed. It's just a blob or a tumor or whatever.
Yeah, it was very surprising, very refreshing. In fact, the lead actor in the series, Hugh Laurie, at the beginning of the episode was referring to the baby as a fetus, and then by the end of the show was calling the baby a baby.
Wow.
And it was really emotional.
And
actually,
obviously, we don't want to turn this into an endorsement for people to watch that show.
No, absolutely not. But it was very shocking.
But that is extraordinary. Thank you for letting us know about that. Okay, what else? You said there were a couple things.
Well, a friend of Bob Enyart Live, he's lives in Michigan, and I know that he's been to a couple of your seminars years ago in the past, and he still listens to you. He unfortunately had two of his children taken from him from the state based on him spanking the children, and he hasn't even been charged with the crime, which is just insane. And this just adds to the tragedy. He's unfortunately lost his wife a year and a half ago due to complications from seizures from epilepsy.
Oh, my. So now he spanked his kids, plural?
Right. The one, it was his daughter specifically, and he uses a plastic rod.
Yeah, which is way better than your hand because your hand is for loving.
Right. And it's a lightweight rod. It's not a blunt trauma
type
of instrument.
Did his daughter, was it abuse? Did his daughter need medical treatment? Did she have to?
Oh, no. She had some welts on her backside, and that's what they based their entire decision on.
Yeah, right. That's a good.
And the testimony of somebody in his neighborhood.
That's a good spanking. You know, in the Bible talks about that the rod will help a child. We have a generation of kids, two generations, who have mostly been raised by parents who think that spanking is wrong. They're on a jihad against spanking, and kids end up with a suicide rate where suicide and murder are leading causes of death of young people in America. There are no boundaries, and kids are miserable, and they despise themselves, and they despise authority. And because we've turned our back on God, and a good spanking, and kids who are spanked properly are happy and healthy kids. So,
absolutely.
All right. Anything else, sir?
Well, yeah, that's a perfect segue into the last story I wanted to bring to you, and this comes out of the front page of the New York Post. You know, the same children who don't get disciplined, their parents decided it's a good idea to send them to communist Cuba with their high school teacher. They went against the wishes of the school and federal laws, and they actually came back from Cuba after spending their vacation there with Fidel, who the history teacher is a huge fan of. In fact, his entire classroom is adorned with posters of Fidel Castro.
Isn't that just great? A murderous communist dictator and a public school teacher who can't get enough of them.
Yeah, it's a pretty good pitch.
No surprise. All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate all that, Tim. Okay, thank you, Tim. Now, we have tried to get Brian Rohrbaugh on the line, and we have him. So, Brian, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
What a tragic day, Brian. I don't know if you were able to catch it, but earlier we played the 90 seconds when you were on CBS News. Katie Couric had called you. That was after the Amish school shootings.
Right.
So we just played that, and now perhaps we could talk for a moment about what's happened in Virginia today.
Right. Yeah, we certainly could. I've actually am going to be on CNN's Paul Azan tonight, and they called me because of my comments on Katie Couric.
All right.
Which is, you know, somewhat interesting. But
that is interesting because there was liberal outrage after you appeared on that program.
Right.
And it had quite an aftermath. It was actually extraordinary. We were documenting it for a while on this show. The Washington Post and news reports around the country about the things you had said, tying violence to godlessness and teaching people that we're just animals.
Right. And clearly we're seeing it once again today. And, you know, the tragedy is, and you and I have talked about this, is that this will bring out bad theology. And that kind of theology often turns people away from God. The theology that says God orchestrated this, or that it was done for his glory,
right,
or that there'll be a nationwide revival now that these kids have been killed.
Yeah, all these distortions of the truth, attacks on God's honor and his righteousness, Christians being superstitious, making predictions / prophecies that fail. And the first call we had on the show today was from Al in Franktown, Colorado, and he asked about Christians trying to influence the government or change the government. And he said, well, you know, didn't God put these governing officials in power? And that's a very superstitious worldview. Of course, in Scripture, God is the author of the universe. And God has created families and he's created nations. And God can influence events when he decides to intervene. But God does not decree sexual immorality. He doesn't decree that children are molested. He doesn't decree that people torture one another. And so folks take the simplest basic teachings in Scripture and they take them to perverse extremes. And then we have people hating God because of what Christians say about God that is not true.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I'm afraid we're going to see that again. And of course, you know, a nation that condones the murder of the very most innocent children in the womb, we, you know, we're reaping what we sow. We have seen, you know, this moral decay, this moral decline, where anything goes. The schools teach there's no absolute right or wrong, there's no God. You come from the slime, so you are slime. You act like animals because you are an animal. And guess what? When the day's done, there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And that's the foundation of what this nation has become. And that's why it is so vital to restore protection and personhood status to every innocent human being. Mm. And so I'm not surprised this happened. I'm really sad that it happened. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're going to learn more in the weeks to come. But one of the things I'm angriest about, and I'm really angry about this, is that our Jefferson County Sheriff, a guy by the name of Ted Mink,
right,
a coward, would not release the basement videos from Klebold and Harris. Those videos say something really important. Those two murderers outlined what their attack was going to be and why they were doing it and how they were going to do it. And that information would be valuable not just to law enforcement, but to individual families. And yet this guy said he wouldn't release it because of copycat murders. Mm. Well, now there's a lot of dead people, and it needs to be released. It should have been released years ago. Mm-hmm. And to make matters worse, we have a federal judge by the name of Lewis T. Babcock, who just a couple weeks ago ruled to lock up the depositions taken from the parents who raised the murderers at Columbine, as well as some additional 3,000 documents never seen by the public, and he wants those locked up in the National Archives for at least 20 years. Mm. And so this nation has an obligation to the victims' families, first to tell the truth and do everything they can to help them, but secondly, we have the obligation to stop this type of crime. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that without being honest.
I'm looking at an article from the Rocky Mountain News back in June of 1999, and they're reporting on the autopsy of Eric Harris.
Right.
And they say that Eric Harris, when he died, he was wearing a white T-shirt with the inscription Natural Selection on its front.
Right.
And they actually say that it is unclear what that referred to. And they say perhaps it was a video game. There's a video game with the same name.
Right.
And they can't put it together that natural selection, the evolution, the strong can kill and destroy the weak.
Well, that's part of what's behind not releasing the basement videos and
wow.
these other documents.
Brian,
it's because they flat said mm-hmm. that's why they were doing it.
Right. Brian, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bob.
In the April 25th event at the Capitol, Brian Rohrbaugh will be there. We'll have a commercial for that right after this. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And Maranatha Christian Center, what a wonderful school in Arvada. Please check them out. And our website is kgov.com.
On April 25th, join Colorado Right to Life as they remember the 40th anniversary of the first abortion law ever passed in America by Colorado. Noted speaker Dr. Alan Keyes will give the keynote address at 1:30 at the state capitol. Then join Dr. Keyes, Judy Brown, and Flip Benham at a special dinner Wednesday evening at Maggiano's. Tickets are $100 per person and will sell out. Be a part of this special evening with Dr. Keyes, Wednesday, April 25th. To make your reservations, call 303-753-9394. 303-753-9394.